CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Selena Zito, writing middle of somewhere for the Washington Examiner. She also writes for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And we've been discussing intra-party squabbles in the Republican Party, which are always spectacular, and the end of the world is nigh. We come now to intra-party squabbles in the Democratic Party, simply described as the long-serving politician of West Virginia, Joe Manchin. Selena, I've been surprised how the Democratic Party, the leadership of the Democratic Party, including the president, but also leaders in the Senate, have regarded Mr. Manchin these months, in which I was told they were romancing him or persuading him or appealing to him because of his vote on such and such a matter, Build Back Better or the voting rights or any of these changes that the Democrats are proposing. I've been surprised by all that, but nothing surprised me as much as the suggestion made by the president in a speech in Atlanta that Joe Manchin was the same as infamous political actors of the civil rights period, dating back to the Civil War. When the president used the name Jefferson Davis, did Joe Manchin hear that as an accusation against him?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This what has transpired last week with that speech has been nothing short of stunning. Not just the words that he used, but the tone that he took. Joe Biden bared no resemblance to the man who said, who calmly told voters over and over again in 2019 and in 2020, he was going to bring calm and dignity back to the White House, and that he was going to be a president of unity. And to make a comment about that, that's not even about your opposing party, but within your party, was just absolutely astounding. I wrote this week, people can read it at SelenaZito.com, but I wrote this week that's the moment that Joe Biden started to lose trust with voters was when Afghanistan transpired. However, when he said that speech on last Tuesday, what he did was put a marking spot in his presidency as the moment that he lost a lot of his party.
Joe Manchin is a very good Democrat, always has been, and he represents the Democrats of West Virginia who might be voting Republican today, but they're voting consistently with the issues they've had over the years. Joe Manchin was a big part of the success of the Obama administration, my memory, because he represented the conservative Democrats, and people had doubts about whether Mr. Obama supported them. Well, Joe Manchin supported Mr. Obama's legislation. So we're looking at somebody who was consistent in his voting record through the Trump administration. He's no Republican. I know they've danced around that concept, but he certainly represents the Democratic Party. Is this something that's being settled behind closed doors, in your speculation? Are they talking to themselves in a way that we can't hear watching their public pronouncements?
I think they're talking to themselves in a way that doesn't help them. The fact that there is going to be a vote on who supports the Build Back Better, something Schumer has been strident about doing, I think it's going to reveal not just Manchin and not just Sinema, but I'm looking at Mark Kelly in Arizona, who is up for reelection, who ran as a moderate Democrat, who would have never won Arizona had he not been a moderate Democrat. So I think that there's going to be more fireworks and then rather than less as we go into the coming weeks. What I found so interesting in reporting a story I have today is that Democrats that I interviewed, for a story I did on the Gallup poll that showed that Americans are more identified as Republicans than Democrats, which was a massive 9-point loss in support from just a year ago. What I found from Democrats, savvy ones, people that follow the news, was that they either had forgotten or didn't even know that an infrastructure bill had been passed and that had passed with bipartisan votes. The reason they didn't do that is because the Democrats have muddled their message on Build Back Better. And all the Democrats think and hear about, these are Democrats who vote, is Joe Manchin and Build Back Better. They're unaware that something that actually did get passed.
We've now evidenced both parties having struggles right now with representatives of those parties, Mr. Manchin, West Virginia, Ms. Cheney of Wyoming. Is this something particular to the way Washington is treating you right now? You're either with us or against us. Dissent is not welcome in the councils of the Capitol Hill.
Well, I mean, we have this incredible fracture. And not just a fracture, but a disconnect. So there's fractures within the parties. Again, as we talked about before, that is normal. However, the disconnect in Washington of what voters want and need is at an astounding level. And the people that deliver that information and the people that are in government are even more viewed with skepticism by voters. If you look at the latest Edelman measurement of trust in America, we've never been in a place that we are today. And it probably doesn't surprise anybody who's listening to this, but in the history books, even during the Civil War, we were not as fractured as we are today. And that is astounding.
You mentioned the Civil War, and I want to get back to Jefferson Davis. The other concerns were of the Civil Rights era, certainly, but the Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy. And my first thought when I read that speech, because I didn't hear it, and then I watched it on video, was that nobody knows who Jefferson Davis is, to my knowledge. The last 40 years, it's not been taught in the schools, in the high schools of America, the facts of the Civil War. And then I puzzled that the White House speechwriter, I can only guess, Selena, the White House speechwriter didn't think through what he or she was putting in the president's mouth, didn't think it through. To accuse anyone in Washington, Republican, Democrat, or independent, of being in common cause with a man who betrayed his country and led half of it to ruin is the strangest hyperbole. So in this final minute, what did you think when you saw? I mean, you know who Jefferson Davis is. It was flabbergasting. 150 years later, here comes the ghost of a man who betrayed his country.
Right. No, I think it was on purpose to call him a traitor. I don't think there's any oops or oopsies in speech writing. Those things are not gone over just by the speechwriter, but the chief of staff and 32 other people read it, reread it, put punctuation marks where they think it should be, commas, add sentences, take them away. All of those references from Jefferson Davis to George Wallace were purposeful, and the intent was to make Manchin and Sinema cave. However, what it did was make them their resolve even stronger.
And the resolve of everyone who's descended from people who fought in that war, such as yourself, Selena, it's surprising. It's just surprising that you'd bring up, well, we're never very far from 1861, are we, Selena? We're never very far from opening
fire.
No, we're not. Selena Zito, SelenaZito.com is the website to read Selena's piece about Wyoming and about West Virginia via the Atlanta remarks of the President of the United States. She also writes for the Washington Examiner and for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.